That song always hits hard. It's so backwards, you know, that he died for us, that we're alive and well. You know, he was forsaken. He shows his love for us. Our readings tonight are the traditional Ash Wednesday readings to start off Lent here. So from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room in the bride or chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Tonight's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, from chapter 6. Jesus speaking. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here ends the readings. Lord, we thank you for your word as it guides us and corrects us and leads us closer to you. Amen. Lent, a time of drawing closer to God, a time of reflection, a time of repentance, and seeking him. Honoring him, of course, in all we say and do. And it's a matter of the heart. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to the people here. He was speaking to people, and among them, Pharisees, I'm sure, because he's hitting them hard. These Pharisees were people that would make a show of their religion. They would fast twice a week. They would give with the announcer giving. They would pray, and bringing honor to themselves rather than God was the problem. Indeed, Jesus, when he was setting them straight, you know, he said, "You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." Because their outward appearances, they were doing all the right things, and indeed they made sure they were following the law exactly. But again, it's a matter of the heart. That's what's important. We have a heart for God. And are we following him for the right reasons? Not to look good like the Pharisees, but to honor him and to thank him for all that we are and have. So he was pointing out to them their hypocrisy is what he was doing. When giving, giving anonymously is a great way to do it. We don't seek glory for ourselves. When praying, don't make a big show of it. Now, it's okay to pray with others. I thoroughly enjoy that, praying with others. And we get a bunch of people praying together for a cause and interceding, and it's great. But we have the right motive, right? It's from the heart, and we're praying, we're asking God for these things and thanking God for these things. Again, it's not to build ourselves up. It's all about God. Same way with the fasting. Highly recommended if you're able, health-wise, to fast. If not, maybe just fast one meal a day or something like that. But every time you get hungry, just turn your attention back to God. And Lent, again, is a time of turning back to God. So it's a reminder of that. Or maybe not fasting from food. Maybe there's something else that's getting between you and God, something you'd be better without. It might be, you know, fasting from a certain website or a channel or something during Lent. We can give that up instead of giving up the food. Maybe it's something on your cell phone you need to fast from. Who knows? For each of us, it's different. But there are things that we should give up, and Lent is a great time to do that. So fasting, praying, and giving, these are things that we do as Christians, for sure. But again, it's from the heart. It's from the new person that we are. For when we give our lives to Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. We are that new creation in Christ. And we're going to behave in different ways. And that should show. The fruits of our faith should show. So again, it's a personal thing between us and God. It's from the heart. And God knows the heart. He sees the heart. The outward appearances can be deceiving. People can look like they're doing all the right things, but inwardly they're not. But again, God sees the heart and knows the heart. And he said that through the prophet Joel here as well. Joel, a prophet in the Old Testament times, God spoke through the prophets. He would give them words and they would say them to the people and write them down, luckily for us. This was written down probably about 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. And the need for repentance, just as big back then as it is now. Indeed, Joel writes, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." To return to him. Sometimes we stray. We're human. We will stray. It does happen, but we can always come back to God. And I had read recently a quote, I don't know who it's from, but say, no matter of how far you have strayed from God, the journey back is just one step. Just to turn back to him. To do that about face, and to turn around and face him again. Because we do get distracted and we do stray. We're human. And here it says to return to me with all your heart, not just part of it. Sometimes, okay, God, I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, you know, maybe, you know, 45 minutes on Wednesday, fresh Wednesday, things like that. But no, all your heart, your whole life and all that you are. God has to come first in our lives to honor him. So to return to him, it says here with fasting and weeping and mourning. And how seriously do we repent? The weeping and mourning, do we realize the extent of our sin and how far we've strayed? I don't know that I've ever been reduced to that weeping and mourning. That's something to think about. He continues, rend your heart and not your garments. If we were to rend your garments, that was a sign of mourning in the old times. If someone had lost someone that was dear to them, they would rend their garments. Or if they realized they had done something wrong, they would rend their garments, they would tear them apart. But here Joel writes to rend your heart and not your garments. Again, the heart is on the inside. People are not going to see that. The garments would be an outward show for others to see, but no, this is inside. Rending your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. The attributes of God here, he is gracious. God's grace is boundless. The favor that he shows us, that we don't earn it. You can't earn grace. It's a gift. And he's compassionate. Still is. All through the Gospels, you read about Jesus and you see him never turning anybody away, always having compassion on people, like the lepers and the lame and those that were poor. It didn't matter. He had compassion and still does. Slow to anger and abounding in love. More attributes of our God, and I'm thankful for that. Slow to anger. Or else we'd all be smoking craters, again with the big one right up here. But he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, willing to take us back. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how far you've strayed. You turn back to him and he's there waiting with open arms just to pull you in. That's our God. If we do these things, we can experience the blessing. And he's calling everybody to do it in this reading as well. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, gather a sacred assembly, all the people, to bring together the elders and the children, the old and the young. Let the bridegroom leave his room in the bride's chamber. This shows the importance of this coming to him as well. The bride and the bridegroom, they've been waiting a whole year to get married in Jewish culture. And it's finally come where they're getting ready for the wedding. But no, it's more important to return to God, to leave those things behind. So there's a lot to the words here. Again, the importance of it, and that is for everybody to return. And we need to return to God as individuals, as the congregation, the body of Christ, and as a nation. We should be turning back to him and his ways, which are right. Not following human wisdom, but seeking him and his wisdom, returning to him. The one who created us, the one who loves us so much, he's willing to die for us. If we are willing to do this, if we were to read the next section of the chapter, it tells what can happen. When the people repent and turn back to him, the Lord replies, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. I'll drive the enemies far from you. His response, he is faithful and he is good. If we return to him, turn back to him, these wonderful things can happen. The trees will bear their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. He will send you the rains because he is faithful. And that's the part I circled there, he is faithful. That's the kind of God we have. Faithful to forgive, and with a love that can't be measured, willing to take us back. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. All kinds of wonderful things will happen if we'll just return to the Lord. So in this time of Lent, set aside time for meditation, for some soul searching, to look at the way we're living, and how we can return to him, putting him first in our lives, living a life that honors him in what we say and what we do. The passage ends with, then you will know that I am in Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. God is faithful.